InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
New prescription drugs are being approved using an accelerated process. But is this putting patients at risk? Here to explore the hidden dangers of the drug approval process, InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. We're joined by Jerry Avorn, MD, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and the author of Rethinking Medications, Truth, Power, and the Drugs You Take. Doctor, when you say rethinking medications, I know you wrote an entire book on it, but what is the central thesis and how does that challenge conventional medical practices?
The hope was that it would give everybody who reads it a chance to say, well, how do we know whether a drug works and how do we know if it's safe and what should its price really be? And really taking all those issues from scratch and coming up with better answers perhaps than we have today.
You describe the current state of medication use as overprescribed and often harmful. Can you maybe give an example that highlights that?
Sure. But let me also hasten to add that we've got a lot of wonderful drugs. This is not a just say no to drugs kind of book. I think drugs are great. I've been prescribing them myself for decades. They are wonderful when they work well. My concern was just that we've gone a little bit astray in terms of FDA loosening its standards a lot for what a company can get approved and market. And we've totally lost control of what they ought to cost, and that Americans pay twice what people in other countries pay for the very same drugs made by the same company in the same factory. So the rethinking was about, how do we know if this really works as well as the company says it does? And why in the world is it so hard to afford?
Was there any turning point in your medical career that made you change your views?
Well, I guess I've been a skeptic about most things my whole life, but I think things began to have a turning point actually during the AIDS epidemic in the early 1990s, where FDA said, let's have looser standards so we can get promising drugs to patients who are dying of AIDS. And if we're not positive they work, well, we'll figure that out later. And that made a lot of sense at the time, given how horrible the AIDS epidemic was. But that created something called the accelerated approval pathway that Congress approved. And my concern is that that has really become a very highly abused loophole. And we now, many decades after the AIDS epidemic is behind us in terms of its worst days, we have the FDA still giving approval for drugs that don't really show that they help patients, but make a lab test better. And the idea that you'll then do follow-up studies to find out if they really work kind of gets forgotten about sometimes. And so we have a lot of drugs the FDA has approved based on this 1990s era, let's get it out there quick kind of approach. But the companies then fall short in doing the follow-up, and we have all these drugs on the market, sometimes costing hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, that the companies have actually not demonstrated are effective in making patients better.
Tell us some of the most common medications that you think are prescribed, maybe unnecessarily or without enough critical consideration.
Well, one category that really struck me the more I dug into it was drugs for muscular dystrophy. Now, this is a tragic condition. It afflicts mostly young boys, and it renders them wheelchair-bound and eventually, in the absence of any effective treatment, kills them in their 20s or 30s. So it's really a situation where you'd love to have anything that helps. The manufacturers of a number of drugs over the last number of years have gone to the FDA and say, give us some of that accelerated approval kind of process, and we promise we'll come back later and show that not only does it make a lab test better, but it actually helps patients. And the FDA said, sure, why not? We have nothing to offer these kids. It does make a lab test look a tiny bit better. You've got yourself a drug with full approval, essentially. You can charge hundreds of thousands of dollars for it. And please come back and do those follow-up studies to see if it's really helping these kids. And the companies, the worst offender being a biotech company here in the Boston area, never got around to starting the studies or submitting them. They may have started them and not finished them, but the point is, this neat idea of allowing a drug on the market because it makes a lab test better, even though it doesn't help patients, has become a vehicle for companies marketing drugs that actually have never been shown to help people and, in fact, are costing the country hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
We're talking with Dr. Jerry Avorn, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and the author of Rethinking Medications. Doctor, you critique the prescribing cascade in the book. What is that cascade and why is that so damaging?
Well, often a physician will or a nurse or another health professional will prescribe a drug. It may cause a side effect, and all drugs cause side effects. You know, most of our drugs are safe, but they do cause things like, you know, low blood pressure or confusion or itches or whatever, and that's to be expected. But the unsuspecting doctor may think that, oh, that's a different condition, I'll prescribe a different drug for it. And then we have one drug treating the side effect of the first drug, and then maybe it'll cause a side effect. And the people who really get whacked by this the worst are older patients, because there is such a tendency to say, oh, you're forgetful, or oh, you're sleepy, or oh, you're lightheaded. That must be because you're old, and not realize that maybe it's a drug side effect. And we really need to be vigilant about that.
Also, sometimes multiple doctors are prescribing things and they may not necessarily consider what the other doctor is prescribing.
That's exactly right. And in the book, I propose that patients bring in a brown bag of everything they're taking, not just that I might have prescribed, but that another doctor might have prescribed, or that they're taking as an over-the-counter drug or a supplement, and just take everything you put into your body for your health and dump it on your doctor's desk, you know, with his or her permission, and say, let's go over these and figure out what do I need to be taking, what might interact with something else. Because often we doctors don't know what other doctors are prescribing. Or I've had patients where I thought I stopped that drug a year and a half ago. You're still taking it? You know, the pharmacy keeps refilling it? Or this supplement that you bought without a prescription, actually that can interact with something I've prescribed for you. Let's talk about it. And it's really only when you put everything into a bag and dump it on the doctor's desk that we can really come to some understanding of what are you taking and what do you really need to take.
Only two countries on earth permit direct-to-consumer prescription drug advertising. What are your thoughts about drug ads in the U.S.?
I think they're counterproductive, and I think all those other countries that have kept them illegal, as we did in the U.S. until 1997, those other countries have got it right, and I think we've got it wrong. It doesn't do anybody any good, except maybe the drug company, for there to be something on the evening news about how here is how you ought to treat your metastatic breast cancer that is estrogen receptor negative. These are not kinds of things that patients are going to be in a position to make a decision based on a 60-second commercial. I think we ought to have a lot of conversation with patients and doctors together, but not to have these advertised as if they were shampoo or cars or laptops. You know, these are things which ought to be a reasonable conversation between the prescriber and the patient, not something that's on a TV commercial.
You mentioned bringing in a bag of prescriptions to your doctor and having him look through them. How can patients otherwise advocate for themselves? And are there some red flags that maybe a patient or caregiver can look for?
Yeah, I try to suggest a number of questions that a patient ought to bring to the doctor. And I point out that when I go to my doctor, I often kind of glaze over and don't remember everything I wanted to ask and don't remember everything the doctor told me. So it's fine to come with a pad of paper and a pencil and have your questions ready and ask the doctor for every med you're taking, you know, what is this for? How do we know when we're at the goal that we want it to get at? Is there a less expensive alternative that'll work just as good? What are some side effects to watch out for? And I try to indicate that those are the sort of questions that every decent doctor or other healthcare professional ought to be willing to answer before you ask someone to put a chemical in their body once or twice a day for the rest of their lives.
If you had a magic wand, what would you change in today's system to make it better?
I would set up, again, what a lot of countries do all over the world, which is a body of experts and consumers, none of whom have any financial conflict of interest with any drug manufacturers, to evaluate new drugs that are out there and to say, this is about as good as what we've got before, or this is way better and should be used more widely. But have that determination be through a systematic evaluation and not just figure it, well, you know, the marketplace will figure it out. And, you know, if there's a lot of ads, maybe people will use more of it, but really subject it to the same kind of scientific evaluation that places like France and Germany and Canada and Australia and Japan do, so that the doctor as well as the patient can get a clear sense of, is this the same old, but it costs a lot more? Or is this an important advance that we ought to pay more for and that we ought to really value?
It's commonplace for Americans to be on 6 or 8 drugs at one time. Many of those drugs are obviously very important, but what final words of advice would you give to a consumer who is looking at all those and going, what do I really need?
That's a really good question. There's no magic number of if you're on more than X drugs, you're taking too many. As I said at the outset, drugs are really wonderful. We've got some fantastic treatments that have been developed by scientists and funded by the NIH and universities at drug companies, and the best of them are really wonderful. We just need to make sure that there's an ongoing assessment, first of all, of the drugs by scientists around the country to see, are they working as well as we had hoped? But also for any given patient with their doctor, you know, do I still need to be taking this? How do I know when I'm having a problem with it? And that's a conversation that ought to be an ongoing process as well as happening at the national level so that we don't have a drug that once it's approved, it's there forever, even if it turns out not to be so good.
Dr. Jerry Avorn, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and the author of Rethinking Medications, Truth, Power, and the Drugs You Take. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, feeling stressed out? There's an easy, natural solution. That story as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.